You're making one right decision today. You're listening to Handcuffs and Sage.
Three badass moms bringing you all the true crime and paranormal your heart desires.
I'm Red.
I'm Timo.
I'm Dre. And don't let your kids listen. Seriously, just don't.
Hey, it's Handcuffs and Sage!
Woo! Woo!
This is Red.
Hey, this is Timo.
Hey, this is Dre.
Oh my goodness. We're in a studio. Oh,
it feels so good.
I know. So much fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I feel very professional, even though we're not professional in any way, but it's fun.
Yeah. Feels great.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to be like really close next to
I know. People. We haven't recorded.
I'm like, what is she doing?
We haven't recorded together since
it's been a year.
It's
yeah.
been
a year.
Really
a year.
Long.
So crazy.
Time. Yeah, like there's something going on. I don't know if you guys heard. So like people were like staying away from each other.
And they wear masks and stuff?
Mm. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's been a while. It feels really good. It's a lot of fun. We needed this. I put on makeup and I did this thing with my hair where I like dried it and stuff. It was weird.
Right.
But I really needed this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We sure
I think
do.
People need social interaction. Call me crazy.
I know. Calm We're just like, the guys behind the cameras are like our new besties because
yeah.
we haven't had any contact with anybody else. So it's like, give us a
picture. Hold me. Tell me it's going to be okay. I had a crazy week. I feel like I've been running a little ragged.
Yeah.
A little bit lately.
You have like a million jobs.
I have 15 part-time jobs yeah. right now. So I kind of do like my own business where I help people with their homes a little bit, you know, organizing, decluttering, home staging. And I've been helping my mom. It's been a challenge, okay? It's been a thing. So I've gotten through that this week, also uh-huh. preparing, you know, for today, and then, you know, Funko, and then I have a hiking group, and then I'm also a health coach, and, you know, talking to people throughout the day with any yeah. kind of, like, technical issue that they might be having. It's been a lot.
And a wife and a mom.
And yeah.
I think I, like, stopped both of those. I put in my paperwork to be transferred.
Oh,
yeah.
So.
I don't think you're getting approved for that transfer.
Yeah. I even hired you this week to do something
yes.
for me. So, yeah. My son has taken an EMR class mm-hmm. for
okay.
his fire academy.
Yeah.
And they sent me a last-minute email. Be here between 3:30 and 4:30 to pick up your stethoscope and your blood pressure cuff.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Absolutely no way I could have made it to Placerita Junior High School across
nice.
Town and back for my lunch break. And I would
it's
have had
a terrible
to,
time.
I would have had to take my lunch break from 3:30 to 4:30 and I'd be hangry on top of that. So I'm like, hey Red, I need your services. So she said, yep. And I totally forgot about it. And then I just get this random text and she's like, shows me a picture. She's like, I got it. I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot. I totally even forgot that was happening. And I'm like, oh.
That's such a comfortable feeling.
Thanks. Yeah.
To be
awesome.
Like, I know I can count on you.
Yeah.
And I don't have to stress about this anymore. You know?
And my son didn't even know about it. He's like, no, I don't know. Well, good thing I check my emails.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I thoroughly enjoy being able to help you.
Cool.
Yes.
But I was pissed because she goes, my other son went outside. He goes, there's something out here for my brother. So he grabs it. And then I get a text at the same time, and it's Red. She's like, it's outside your door. I'm like, my door was wide open. My screen, I was sitting literally right there. Why didn't you say hi?
Oh, my gosh. I was rushing to your door. I basically threw it at your door and then booked
yeah,
it back to my car
because
I was going to pee my
hey,
pants.
Bitch, here's your shit. And
late.
Left.
Oh, no.
I know. I text
so
her.
Rude.
I went to her, I text her like, okay, dropping off cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like hanging on the door and I'm walking away. She opens the door. I'm like, oh, hey. And
yeah.
then we chit chat for a minute. I was like,
yeah.
oh no,
I miss
I was
people.
My pants.
Oh, there you go.
I had had
well, guess
so
what?
Much water.
I think she has a bathroom in her house.
I have toilets in my home.
Oh.
I know it's hard to believe.
It's a concept.
But I do.
I feel like that's kind of rude though to be like,
no.
Oh, by the way, can I?
Maybe not with us.
Okay, I'll think about it, like, in the future. Mm-mm. We'll see. We'll see if I'll...
Yeah, because I know that whole, I need to pee, and I need to pee, like, right this minute feeling.
When you have to commute.
Because, yeah. But we drink, like, a shit ton of water.
Every day.
All the time.
There are moments where you're like, oh, I'm going to pee my pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I'll go to the bathroom before I leave work, and then I'll get in the car, and then the minute I get home, I'm like, don't talk to me. I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah.
Give me 5 minutes.
I just need to pee.
So, yeah, crazy week, but good things happened this week, though, too. How was your week?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
Really
exciting.
We're thrilling people over here.
No, you guys already know that.
last night. Not good. It's
not good news.
It's my life, not somebody else's life.
Okay.
And if it comes true, it's not going to be very fun. It's not going to be very nice. So but
are you getting pregnant in the premonition?
No. But it gave me insight to someone's true colors. And now I know not to trust this person.
I feel like, did you post about this? Because I feel like, why do I feel like I understand what you're saying?
I don't know.
That's creepy.
She's connecting with you right now. I can feel.
I kind of had a feeling connection about this person, but now black and white. I know. I can't trust this person.
Shit.
I'll tell you guys off camera.
We'll have a meeting later.
Yeah.
We'll discuss.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I hope it doesn't happen, and it's something that I can make not happen. I can choose it not to happen.
All right.
But, it gave me an insight to, it's really wild.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it later. Okay. I can't wait to hear. We should probably take a break so we can find out.
I know.
So your week.
I had like a whatever week, but there is something that, you know, last time I think I talked about how Ricky got his driver's license and how awesome that was. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit regretting it now.
Oh, no.
Just because he wants to go everywhere.
Yes, all the time. Yes.
Like day one, it was like, hey, Mom, it's just the first day. Can I do this? And then like, okay, just this one time, but remember, it's for school and back. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, you know, can I go hang out with my friend? And I'm like, didn't we have a talk about this? And then my daughter calls me, I'm at work, and I haven't gone grocery shopping because my life's crazy. And she's like, Mom, I'm hungry. I said, okay, open up the refrigerator and tell me what you see. I can tell you like what you can have. Like, let's get a meal whipped up, right? This is how I cook. And she's like, I have another idea. This is my 8-year-old daughter, guys. Okay, what's your idea? Maybe Ricky can go to Jack in the Box for me.
Smart. She's a smart girl.
She's so smart.
Yay.
I was like, okay.
Ricky was probably holding a sign saying, I'll go to Jack. Tell Mom what the fuck.
Now, Jack in the Box, you would have to come all the way down to like my house, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good drive.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, fine. This is not going to be a habit. So I need to go grocery shopping.
I went through the same thing with my daughter.
Yeah.
Right. For the basics, it turns into something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there comes a point where it's more comfortable for them to go, but they're just learning. So it is hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she came by my house when she first got licensed. I mean, not my house particular, but to Miss Amy's house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she was taking a picture, standing on
sure. She took 20 pictures. And then she's like all solemn in each picture. Too cool for school.
Yeah.
Too cool. Okay. So I am very excited about my story this week.
Ooh. It's a new story because you're done with the Ripper.
I know.
So we
the
can
Ripper
hear.
Is over.
Oh gosh. Okay, I'm excited.
It's gonna be a good time.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Cool. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. So I have notes. I'm a professional.
You have a lot of notes. Dang. Wow.
I just want to give everyone all the information.
Okay.
Yeah. I
everyone.
Love it.
Is that gonna be your 20-minute segment?
No, this is two.
Oh, you're going to do a two-parter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
It just blossomed.
Excellent.
Okay, cool.
So this is part one.
Okay. Excellent.
Of?
Two. One of two.
I meant the topic.
You guys. Okay, but seriously, because...
You saw it? You cheated?
No, I didn't.
Oh. No. But
don't cheat on mine.
Usually, you know, we do this over Zoom.
Yeah.
And we keep what we're talking about a secret.
Always.
But now we're next to each other.
Yeah, and it's back to how it was before. Yeah.
Don't look at my shit. Okay.
I like your writing. No, just kidding.
It's terrible. This is my scribble.
You guys, this is bad. It's so bad. You can't even read this.
What is
I think
it?
I should be a doctor.
My
right?
Note.
I should be a doctor.
Nice.
I know. Whatever.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Buckle up. Because shit's going to get real.
I'm driving.
Are you ready? We're going to go back in time. We're going to Cleveland, Ohio. I know it sounds boring. In the 1930s. Ooh.
Oh.
What? Fun. What happened in the 1930s?
We like this.
Yeah. You know, a bunch of shit, and we're going to talk about it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. 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 This is going to be fun.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So, Cleveland, Ohio used to be this beautiful area. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Do you guys know what happened in the 1930s?
Mm-mm.
The Great Depression.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
History is our friend.
Okay.
Okay. So the Great Depression happens, and all of a sudden, all these people are struggling, right?
Okay.
And Cleveland has areas that they call shanty towns.
Mm.
Wow. It's like people took trash and built homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had nothing else. So there's pictures of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so sad. So then all of a sudden, we have areas with, transients, addicts, you know, sex workers, you know, people just trying to get through,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they have a train station that stops there. So then we're bringing in more transients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in the day, you have people who, you know, would hop box cars. Right? That was like their lifestyle too. And maybe they would stop, party it up in Cleveland, and then move on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That does sound like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay. So a lot of things are going to happen in Cleveland here. Okay. So another area in Cleveland is what they call the Roaring Third. And this sounds like my kind of place because it's bars, gambling halls, stay with me, brothels. It's basically Vegas. In like one like little street, okay? So they're just doing whatever the fuck they want.
Was this during Prohibition too, or was Prohibition over?
They were fighting the booze at this time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sad. Why would you do that?
Mm.
Stop.
So they were speakeasies.
Great, great, amazing time. Right. Okay. September 5th, 1934. Hold on to your butts. A woman's torso is found by Lake Erie.
Hmm.
Her legs are barely attached to this torso. And they're amputated at the knee. Could you imagine finding a torso?
Hmm.
That'd be so fucked. Like, anytime I go hiking, I expect to find, like, a dead body.
Yeah, same.
Well, I mean, at first I'll be like, oh, it's a mannequin. But then I'll be like, a dead body.
It's never a mannequin.
But this happened, like somebody walked up and found a torso. So it's really gross.
Mm.
What's going on? Why is this happening? Right? So police officers show up, they're checking out the torso, and they find like this weird chemically residue on it.
Hmm.
And it's turned the skin like red and leathery.
What?
Right? And they're like, what's up? Like why would somebody put this chemical? Well, why would somebody cut up a body and like throw it? But why chemical too?
Weird.
Right? What's up with that? They see that there's a scar on the abdomen. So what they did is they went back like 6 months at missing persons, women, and they tried to find like somebody like maybe with the same scar, but they couldn't identify this woman. Still to this day.
So we're talking no head, right?
No head.
Oh, okay. All right. No arms and no hands. No arms. Okay, so you can't identify head, face,
right.
or fingerprints.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Gotcha.
Okay.
She's so smart.
Cut off at the knees, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they think the woman is probably in her mid-30s, right? They did recover other body parts, but not the head. They never were able to identify her, and I thought you would kind of get a kick out of this part. People refer to her as the Lady of the Lake.
Ooh.
Oh.
Definitely wears white.
Definitely.
But probably not.
Lady of the Lake.
All right.
That's kind of sad.
Lake Erie?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the Lady of Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, like, weird and spooky.
Okay.
This is not a paranormal story, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
It will be eventually, probably.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Stay in your lane.
Maybe look into that. About a year later, in September 1935, there were two boys playing catch. Hey, Billy, Bobby, and they were playing catch.
This doesn't sound good.
And one of them overthrows the ball. Rude. and the other one goes running after it. And at the bottom of, I'm not making this up, Jackass Hill.
What?
Jackass.
That meant like a burro or like a donkey probably in those days.
Yeah.
Probably.
But it's one of those words that you just stop using like normally. Like mm-hmm. that's a jackass, like a donkey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like when people are named Dick, you don't use that name. That's not true. My neighbor uses that name.
Really? Still?
Yeah, I would. Fun fact, side note, my father-in-law, I'm not even kidding, has a friend who was a police officer, who was a police officer.
Sergeant Dick?
Dick Long.
No!
Ooh, he went by Dick.
And you know how, like, sometimes they say last name first, Long Dick?
Yeah.
What? That's the best.
Oh, best name. And I know. A cop.
Oh, you know, he just played it.
Hell yes.
Officer Long Dick.
You know what they call me by my name. Okay, so they're on Jackass Hill. They're playing catch. One of them obviously is not good at playing catch. Overthrows the ball, okay? At the bottom of the hill, they find a decapitated body. Mm.
Poor boy.
Another one.
I know, that's sad.
That's crazy.
Little kids.
So, it's awful. Police officers arrive, and the first two detectives on the case are Orly May and Emil Musel. Orly May. What's the names?
That's like a nail polish.
Orly Redenbacher. What's a Redenbacher's name?
Orville.
Never mind. Mm-hmm.
Kind of close. Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
Is that a man or a woman?
Orly.
Obviously a man.
Hello.
Sorry. 30s, obviously a man.
Okay, get back in the kitchen. That's so cute how she was trying to talk to me.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Then, while looking at this body that the boys have found, they find a second body near that first one.
Oh.
Yes. Both are naked, decapitated, dismembered. One of them had socks on still. Why would you take off all the clothes and do all this shit, but one of them had socks on? That's just weird. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
He could have gotten caught or, like, he heard someone coming.
Mm-hmm. No.
Why not?
I'll get to it.
Okay.
Both of them had their junk cut off, y'all.
Oh.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Top and bottom?
What's happening?
Bottom. Top and bottom?
The whole shebang, honey. Bye-bye.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. They had rope burns on their wrists. Okay? They were drained of all blood. There was no blood on the scene. So this is what they know. They were not killed there, and they're found on this really big hill. So somebody killed them at a first location, drained all their blood, and then was strong enough to carry these bodies.
Both.
Up the hill. Near the bodies, they find a bucket of oil, and there was some burns on the body. Again, there's a chemical found on the skin. The first body is identified by fingerprints, and this is 28-year-old Edward Andrassi, okay? He's a former orderly. He worked at, like, an insane asylum. But he was actually really well-known in the community just for, like, always being there in trouble, right?
Mm.
Public intoxication, he was a bit of a playboy, you know, hooking up with chicks, and then the angry husband would come after him, right?
Go to the insane
squirrely
asylum.
That's what it felt like. He was squirrely, okay? So then the second body couldn't be identified, so we're going to call him John Doe, okay? John Doe was actually killed first a couple weeks before Andrassi, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The chemical agent put on the body had actually slowed down decomposition of it.
I have a question real quick.
For
some reason, I was thinking these were women. So was the first one a woman?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the first one was a woman.
Oh, that's why you said top and bottom.
Right. I thought it was more, so it wouldn't be top. It would just be the bottom.
For the
men? For a man?
Yeah.
Oh, the junk area is right here for a man.
Okay.
Frank
yes.
and beans.
I don't know. I was thinking that these were women. Now I know that they were men. And men. I understand. Okay.
Makes sense.
Makes sense now.
Good questions.
Okay.
Can communication is so important. All right. Okay, you guys, 1930s, serial killer isn't even a term used.
Right.
Think about that.
Crazy.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. They don't connect the woman's torso that's found to these torsos that are found. Because that's a woman and these are men.
Right.
And the thought that there is a killer, like, killing multiple people the same way isn't even a thought that they have.
That's ridiculous.
Right? Because at that time, they thought, oh, someone just gets angry, violent, drunk, and then murders someone. Right?
Right.
That's what they think.
They don't have M.O.
This is like a whole new world. I'm just kidding. Okay. Serial killer isn't even a thing. So they're not connecting the murders. So, on a cold January morning in 1936, a woman's dog is barking outside, annoying as fuck. She goes outside, and there are two baskets in front of her door. Wrapped up in the baskets is something. She's thinking it's food, which is so sad.
I don't want to know.
It's not food. It's not food. Okay, so she goes to the baskets. It's human body parts.
Of course.
Why? Police officers arrive. They start searching for clues, right?
That's so weird.
What's going on?
That's so weird.
They're looking around. About 10 days later, they find more body parts, and they're just, like, scattered. Like, somebody walked through and went, where?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Threw them out their chariot.
So rude. It really is. So the coroner, Samuel Gerber, he actually did all the autopsies on all of the victims. And he gives the cause of death is by decapitation.
Mm.
And all of them in the beginning have died this way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they died.
Weird.
It's sad.
It's odd that that's... Mm-hmm. It's odd that they were murdered and then, like, dismembered, and that was part of the dismemberment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
This is the way he kills them.
Right.
Ugh.
Like, he didn't strangle them and then dismember them.
Right.
He, like, chopped off their heads.
That's...
Okay. So, the coroner, Gerber, found that the killer had waited for rigor mortis to set in before dismembering this body. Now, he didn't do that with the other bodies. So, the coroner's like, okay, maybe he's just, like, trying out new techniques, right? Does this work? Does this not work? Right? Through fingerprints, the body is identified as Florence Flo Palillo. Oh my God, I can't wait for y'all to see a picture of Florence. Mm. Let's call her Flo. Mm-hmm. She's making a look in this picture that I've made a million times in my life. Just a, nope, fuck you, I do what I want. That's the look she's making in this picture.
Okay.
She was a barmaid, waitress, and sometimes sex worker. Like when she needed to. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Extra money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, June 1936, two boys are playing hooky. and they see a pair of trousers on the ground. This is why you stay in school.
Right.
Right? Just do what you're supposed to do. They find a pair of trousers on the ground. They decide to poke the trousers. And out of the trousers comes a head.
What?
Oh, yeah. These poor kids. They're gonna, like, traumatized so for awesome. Life.
It's crazy. Holy shit.
So wild.
It's crazy that there's so many kids just, like, doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're finding dead bodies constantly.
It's like the little rascals.
Uh-huh.
So, like, alfalfa's
just
out
darker.
There and pokes a head.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Okay. Darla.
Oh, my God.
A day after finding the head, police find a body of a man in his mid-20s, drained of all of his blood. He wasn't dismembered, but he was decapitated, okay?
Hmm.
The man had 6 tattoos, possibly a sailor. He was well-groomed, and he had newer clothes on, so that was a little different than the other people that they had found. And 6 tattoos, that sounds hot.
Definitely a sailor. I think only sailors and carnies had tattoos back then.
I would have dated both.
Yeah, you would.
What does that mean?
You're a fun girl.
I'm a fun girl. Okay, we have Detective Neville, Charles O. Neville, on the case. he told the coroner to clean up the head and put it on display in hopes of identifying the man. Only in the 1930s were they doing this.
Right.
Shit, right?
I was just going to say they would never do
that. And it just so happened the World's Fair was going on. 2,000 people came to see the head on display.
That sucks.
Nobody identified him.
It's like people would just come like, hey, you should go see this dead head over here.
I would go see the dead head too.
I might charge. Just kidding.
I would too. They did that. I did that one story where they did that too. Remember, they put the body in front of the funeral home.
Yeah,
to identify.
That was the Rississi Annie girl, the CPR doll, right?
That must have been a thing in the 30s.
I think so.
You think about what you could do. You can't send out a picture to everyone.
Yeah, right. But that wasn't working. So
just put the head out.
Yeah.
Dust it off.
Yeah.
Let just people clean a look. It up. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. Okay, nobody identified him. He is known as the tattooed man. He still has never been identified. Mm. And the picture of his head is really sad.
Oh, there's pictures of it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah.
TikTok's not going to let that happen.
I know, damn.
Okay, TikTok. Okay. Okay, so Neville was before his time. Right? He's like, look, I think the killer is killing strangers, and these are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me out, y'all.
All right. We got a serial killer. Okay.
There might be just one killer just, like, doing the same thing over and over and over again. And his colleagues were like, no, you're dumb. You're ridiculous. Right?
No such thing. Okay.
Neville. It must have been hard for Neville during this time. Really. So Neville went to the newspapers. And he said, I want you to let people know there is a maniac on the loose and he has a lust to kill.
Mm.
Print that. Let them know.
Lust to kill headline. All right.
Lust to kill. Right? He was worried. He was worried about people.
I love the wording. Maniac on the loose. I could just see. I could see the newspaper headings.
Uh-huh. He kills.
And then the little paper boy. Yeah. Maniac on the loose. Maniac on the loose.
Five cents. That's a lot. Okay, July 1936. A teen girl is walking in the woods. What?
Why?
Don't do that by yourself. Mm-mm. What are you doing?
Mm-mm.
Okay, she finds a decapitated man.
Mm.
The man is in his 40s. He's been dead for about 2 months. The difference was that he was killed there. Okay, there's dried blood found underneath his body. And then nearby is a pile of bloody clothing. So why did he change? Was the killer maybe walking and saw someone and decided just to do whatever he wanted, right? How did this one happen? What was the change here? And then you have to think, where is this guy killing all these people?
Right.
Anyway.
Like, where are all the adults in town where they're not finding any of these bodies and it's all poor kids?
Dude, I don't even know. I don't even know. September 1936, a man is walking to the train station, and then he trips over something. Oh, my! And he gets up and he looks over and it's a torso.
Watch where you're walking, guys.
Oh, my God.
So important.
And you might be like, how did you trip over a torso? Like, how'd that happen, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. There's like mounds of trash everywhere.
Right. I was going to say. Okay.
Oh.
That's gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it now.
And then he trips over a torso.
Okay.
I would trip over a torso even if there wasn't trash around.
I feel like I always watch where I'm walking.
Yeah.
Okay. Police officers arrive. They do a search. There is a body of water nearby. It is not water. It is like sewage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have homeless people, basically. Mm-hmm. Maybe using it for things, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think about how gross that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's probably body parts in there.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody needs to go in.
Oh, no.
And check it out. So you know the rookie. He's like, ooh. Ugh. They pick a guy. He dives down.
What?
Oh no.
In the sewage. Oh my god.
With
oh,
nothing like.
Oh my god. I don't know what he was wearing. Oh. I don't know how many showers he took after this happened.
I mean.
Oh.
That's life changing.
So he came out and he's got like Hep C and.
Oh.
Like all of it.
He has all the things.
Typhoid now. And. All of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while this guy is diving in this sewage, people start showing up to watch. About 600 people are there watching this happen.
Mm. Yes. I bet you it smelled yummy.
So too. Gross. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like Echo Park.
So nice. It's a good thing that they did this. He pulls out a lower part of a torso and two legs, okay? The newspapers, of course, have been going crazy with all the killings, but then they have pictures of the body parts being pulled out, and so they run that in the next day's article. Crazy. So Coroner Gerber, he says that there's a lack of hesitation marks, that the person doing this is very strong, very confident, and he's cutting the head off with one stroke, which is very, very difficult
what?
To do. Yes.
Wow.
Like an executioner.
Yes. And you know, even with like an executioner, like one royal family, I don't know who it was, like,
yeah.
They had to do it like a million times.
Yeah.
They killed the broom,
yeah.
Oh, that'd be awful. And they say like when you like are decapitated, I don't know if it's true. If you're decapitated, there's like, you know, you're still like alive for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's like the chicken running around without the head and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like they told one guy like just keep blinking for as long as you can. And
what?
So, yeah, and like they chopped his head off.
And then he's still blinking?
And he was like blinking for like a minute.
Mm. What?
You would hope that it was like immediate.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. That's a little fun fact. For Okay. All right. So the coroner's like, look, I think this is somebody who obviously has knowledge of the human anatomy,
mm-hmm.
has very skilled cuts. I'm thinking this is a doctor or a butcher. And the coroner keeps saying this over and over again. Okay, so obviously officers are going to arrest and interview all vagrants in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because they have the willpower and the know-how?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Amazing.
They said that there might have been a class bias at the time. Awful. They said, like, in the area, I mean, you could sneeze wrong and they would take you in. And,
oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. It was bad. Newspapers are going crazy. They're talking about the killings, of course, all the time. Now, they dubbed this killer... The Mad Butcher! I came up with a different name.
What was that?
Because we always give these badass names to mm-hmm. these dickheads, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I thought of the Weirdo Weenie.
What?
Because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So, Mayor Harold Burton, he's like stressing, y'all. He's drinking all the scotch in his office all the time. Like, we gotta get this killer. Like, people are getting really pissed at me, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so he's gotta think of a plan. So Burton appoints this law legend, Elliot Ness, as the safety director. Who's Elliot Ness?
Yeah,
he is crazy famous. He's the one that took down Al Capone.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay. He was part of the Untouchables. Mm-hmm. You know that movie Untouchables? Mm-hmm. Not him.
Okay.
So he's got this stellar reputation. He's done all these different like high profile cases. He's like the man,
okay.
right? Mm-hmm. He's batting 1,000. So they bring him in. He's stressing about catching this guy, mm-hmm. right? He needs to keep his reputation up.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Something that he does is actually like super duper cool. And I think it's really interesting, is that for the first time in history, professionals come together and they put their first profile of a killer together.
Ooh, wow.
What? I wish I was there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I could have helped. Okay. We have doctors, coroners, psychiatrists, medical professionals all coming together and kind of seeing what they come up with. Who's doing this and why, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a trip, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, so this profile that they come up with. The killer is large, powerful, lived or worked nearby, might be a doctor or butcher, definitely a sex pervert, insane, keeps heads as trophies, appears normal, appears sane.
Okay.
And that's their, like, hey, little baby profile. Really good job, you guys. You're doing it. Okay. So they called this the torso clinic.
That's hilarious.
The torso clinic. Oh, I didn't think of the name.
Okay.
I didn't pick it. That's what they called it.
That's weird.
I like how she's all disgusted with it.
She's like, what the fuck?
I mean, I just think it's great that they did this. That's thinking outside the box.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right. So February 1937, a man finds a woman's torso. She's decapitated after death, right? And we haven't seen that before.
Okay.
3 months later, the lower half of the torso washes up and the body is never identified. Not awful.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to happen to me for sure, you guys. Okay, June 6, 1937, a teen boy is crossing this bridge and he looks down and he sees something kind of like glitter and he's like, oh, what's that? It's probably a gold nugget. It's my lucky day. And he goes down and he finds a skull and a burlap bag filled with skeletal remains. And there was a gold tooth skull, and that's what was glittering.
Did he keep it? Just kidding.
Yeah, he probably
pulled it out.
He's like,
I found gold.
It's my time. Yeah. So they used dental records. They identified the body of Rose Wallace. So we know that he kills men and women.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't discriminate. Mm-hmm. We're all equal. Rose is an African-American woman. She was a sex worker. And so people were like, no, it's not connected.
Oh, God.
Okay, so typically with serial killers, they usually do stick, you know, to one gender or to a certain race. And it's usually the same race as themselves, right? That's scientific.
Mm-hmm.
He's just doing whatever the fuck he wants. And this is the same MO. So Neville, I feel bad because Neville is always like, come on, you guys. Come on. It's connected. Everyone's like, you're crazy. The devil did. Yeah, a lot of that all the time. So, July 1937, a body is found decapitated. The heart is ripped out and the insides are ripped out. He's getting sloppy. He's escalating.
Hmm.
He's just doing whatever he wants to the body. Mm-hmm. He's just, no fear, right? Then there's no bodies and killings for about a year. April 1938, a man is on his way to work. And he said that he looked over and he thought like what he saw was like maybe a dead fish. But then he got closer to the fish. Why would you go and look at a fish? He got closer to the fish and he found it was part of a woman's leg.
Mm.
All these people are just finding body parts in their neighborhood, y'all. For years. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
So rude.
Hmm.
There are two burlap bags, and there's more body parts found inside of them. The first body to have drugs found in her system, so that's different.
Hmm.
So then they're like, okay, maybe he's drugging them so they're not moving, and that's how he does that one perfect slice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff happening here. Interesting stuff. In August 1938, a torso is found wrapped in a blue blazer. And then nearby are other body parts found in a box, kind of wrapped up in like butcher, like paper. And then there's like rubber bands around it. I don't even know why. Why wrap it up? Because other body parts, he's like, where? Mm-hmm. And then other ones, he's like, here's the bow. It's weird. I don't understand. It's weird. So nearby, another body is found, and both are never identified.
Mm.
So freaking sad, you guys. There's so many of these that people have no idea. So the Mad Butcher case, or the Weirdo Weenie case, was a total black mark on Elliot Ness, right?
Poor guy.
Oh, terrible for him. Mm-hmm. Terrible. He just can't catch the guy. Mm. And it's making him look bad. And so he just basically is like, that's it. I'm done. He gets 35 officers. They raid the shanty towns, which they called, and I hate this, hobo jungles. So he raids them. They pull people out. They end up arresting 63 men in this process. They get everyone out of the town, and then he burns it to the ground.
What?
What?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Just wait. After he burns their homes to the ground, he arrests them for being homeless.
Holy shit. Just can't with this. Oh,
nice.
What? What'd you do? He arrested them, and he said, I was doing it for them because he's killing these people that nobody cares about. Mm. And because they're going to be gone, then the killer isn't going to come around.
Mm. Oh, and I arrested so nice. Them,
and now I have their fingerprints. So if they are killed, we can identify their body. He's being thoughtful, you
of
guys.
Course.
He's okay. really a nice guy.
Smart.
You guys, I really like him. So this is just insane. It really is sad. Could you imagine these people going through the Great Depression, living in squalor, and then your house gets burned down? You're just like, fuck it.
And then you're arrested.
And then you're arrested. Okay, people are obviously pissed. Mm-hmm. People are pissed because they know that they keep saying it has to be like a doctor or a butcher, and they're not looking at anyone in those areas. They just keep arresting them, right? So it's a really bad situation. So I'm actually going to stop there for part one. There's so much more to come.
It's so
this.
Good.
It is Red. Good.
This is such a good story. I'm loving it.
But it's
mm-hmm.
fun. I mean, it's sad.
Yeah.
But interesting at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving the head rolling and kind of stuff like that. Sorry.
Oh, my God. There's something wrong with her. Yep.
She's going to go research the Lady of the Lake in Erie.
The Lady of the Lake. Yeah.
The Lake Erie Lady of the Lake.
Yeah. It's such a trip that this is like one of the first serial cases documented in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
They had no idea what a serial killer was. They didn't know how to do a proper profile. What would make someone do these? It's just interesting.
Okay.
And yeah. I dig it.
Yeah, it's great. I like it.
Mm-mm-mm. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you?
I'm hoping you don't know this story.
I do. I know everything about
but
it.
But you probably do, but I'm hoping that you don't. So I'm going to talk about the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter.
No. Do you?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, it's an alien story.
Aliens!
Yep. So this is considered one of the most bizarre and convincing alien encounters ever.
Tell me about
cool.
it, girl.
Okay. All right.
So this happened August 21st, 1955, just outside of Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in a little area. It's a little unincorporated town called Kelly. And two families were living on this farm, the Suttons and the Taylors. And the farm was owned by Glennie Lanfer and the Suttons and the Taylors. They were actually ex-carnival people.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so now they're living on this farm. And, you know, it's getting to be nighttime. Billy Ray Taylor goes out to the well to get some water.
Okay. Idea. Why would you so, do that?
He walks out and he sees a metallic saucer-looking object fly through the sky. It has like a rainbow tail.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
I'm like, what shrooms do you want, baby?
And then it either lands or crashes in the woods, off into the distance. Okay, so he
follow the rainbow. Did he run after him?
No, he actually ran back into the house.
Oh, okay,
and you know he's like, you guys, oh my God. And they're like, oh, Billy Ray. Oh, Billy
Ray. I'm telling you, those
and
shrooms.
Nobody believes Billy.
He was known for, like, you know, telling a
great story.
A great story. So they're just like, yeah, whatever you say, dude, right? But his best buddy, Lucky Sutton, said, hey,
Like you said.
I'll go check it out with you, man. So they both go out.
That's what best friends are for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go with you.
So they're you know, out by the well, they're looking, nothing's going on, and then all of a sudden, out of the fucking forest comes these like floating, glowing creatures. They're not running. They're kind of, you know, floating out, and they both have their hands over their heads.
What?
Yeah, like stick them up.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's what they look like.
Okay, the glowing beings. We come in peace.
The glowing beings are like floating towards them, and yes, and
oh, that would be freaky.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes it worse that their hands are
yeah,
there.
Right. So they both ran back to the house. They barricaded the doors. Initial report claimed that there were 12 creatures surrounding the farm. So Billy Ray grabs his rifle, Lucky grabs his shotgun, and they're like, everyone get down, everybody get down, and they're basically waiting for something to happen.
What do they thought it was?
Aliens.
This is a crazy moment, but do they think it's aliens? I know, right? What they're thinking.
Well, this was right in the middle of UFO fever.
UFO. I still have UFO fever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 55, right? 1955?
I have it somewhere here. This was, I think, 8 years after the Roswell incident.
Okay. Yeah. So it was they thought it was aliens.
UFO fever. So these little gray men, I guess they're not glowing anymore. They call them little gray men. They approach the house slowly, one by one, and they kind of seemed like they were scared or confused. It wasn't like an attack. They were just kind of like
unsure about the situation.
Right.
Exactly. That makes sense.
They try to open the doors. They're rattling the doors. They're trying to get in. And then they start peeking through the windows.
Hello.
We just need help. We ran out of gas. We need to make a phone call.
And then some even, they said, floated up into the trees and then sat into the trees. And they were just kind of staring at the house. Okay?
It's funny because I'm sure in their mind, they're like, why aren't they helping us? Like, mm-hmm. So I just need some help.
Humans are rude. I needed some help. And they went and opened the door. We're going to sit in this tree until we get out of here.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now they're freaking the fuck out. And they start shooting at these creatures that are looking through the windows. Okay?
We're innocent.
They're breaking the windows. The windows are being destroyed. And the creatures are getting knocked down. But when they go to check, they get back up and run away. Okay? So now they're shooting at. It's like a total gun battle. They're, you know, shooting at these creatures in the yard. And whenever a bullet hits them, it sounds like metal being hit. It's like bounce, like kink, 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 kink.
Okay? Like Superman, huh?
Yeah. Wild.
Bing, 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 bing.
They go, these fuckers. They're shooting at us.
They're bulletproof.
So now they're going to take it out. They're going to take the guns out. They're going to continue the gunfight outside. And so Billy Ray and Lucky and a few others, they go outside. And one of them was on the roof right above the door. And it had taloned claw. And it swooped down and tried to attack Billy Ray, and then it just floated away.
Wow.
What now?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so one of them had a talon claw.
Yeah, well, this is the one that they saw up close. So it basically swooped down and tried to attack Billy Ray. So then they all ran back in their house. So like, okay, plan B, what are we going to do
now? He's got a talon. Yeah. We weren't ready.
They're bulletproof.
Mm-hmm. So they started just shooting at him like crazy. And then when they thought the coast was clear, they jumped into their cars and they drove into town to the police station.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The owner of the farm, Miss Glennie, she believed that maybe they weren't trying to actually hurt them, but maybe they were trying to ask for help. Okay?
Yeah.
So they told the police, and the police were like, oh God, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. They're just like, didn't believe him. They're like, what?
End of shift.
Whatever.
So yeah.
Right,
they went,
right.
Uh-huh.
They're like, you, these carnies, mm-hmm. these people, right. And then, like I said, this was 8 years after the Roswell. Mm-hmm. So they're, and it's like UFO fever. So they're like thinking, oh God, these people are just making up these crazy stories, whatever. But they had to do their due diligence. They went out, they checked the farm, and they basically only found evidence of a gunfight. There was no other evidence of any type of
one-way gunfight.
You know, yeah, one-way. There was no spaceship. There was no aliens. There was no blood. There was no nothing.
Did they find moonshine or drugs?
Oh, very interesting. I'll tell you that in 1 second. So the family goes back to the house, but during this time, like, it's a little teeny, teeny town. So, like, rumors are just, you know, spreading. The whole town knew. So, basically, the whole town was there hanging out. They're camping out. They're, you know, waiting because they want to see what happens. Finally, everybody starts to leave. No more aliens. Nothing came. So, everybody left. They're like, whatever. This is a big joke.
Honestly, when I hear this, like, I always kind of try to envision what we would do.
Yeah.
I always put us in
if
there.
We were
like
the people, or if we
no,
were
if
the,
we were like the, part of the town, yeah, we'd be like, oh, let's go help.
Try and
let's go help with the investigation.
Yeah, right.
Let's go check it out.
We have aliens on our shirt.
I know.
So, it's, you know, they're finally like, all right, I guess we're okay now. So the family decides they're going to try and go to sleep for the night. 3 a.m. happens.
Oh, shit, dude.
3 a.m. happens.
That's the time I
They started hearing running on the roof. They start hearing scratches on the house and around the, you know, the doors and windows.
It's rats.
Yes. No. Oh. It was, they were back.
Oh.
So what did they do? They packed their shit up and they left.
Okay.
And they left to Evansville, Indiana, in total fear. I don't know how far that is from where they were, but they took off. Okay. In their wake, they left a bunch of people laughing at them because they were like, yeah, this was a total hoax, right? So depending on who was telling the story, all the details changed. So they were being interviewed by newspapers, media, everybody was going crazy. They would talk to Glennie, they would talk to Billy Ray, they would talk to Lucky. Everybody's story kind of changed a little bit from here and there.
Are they similar?
They're similar, right. But newspapers and newspaper stories, they think that they were kind of adding in a little bit of, you know, to make the story
make
a little
juicy.
Bit. Yeah, to make it juicy, a little bit more.
They would never do that to sell a story.
So these were kind of some of the differences. Some say they were 2 feet tall with thin legs and they were gray. Another one said that they were green instead of gray. Someone else said they were green with a silverish glow. Then someone else said that they were 4 feet tall with bulbous heads. They all had glowing eyes. So that was kind of like the similarity. So they all had glowing eyes. And pointed ears and claws.
Sure.
You know, you're really describing an owl. That's what you're doing.
Right, right.
The house is surrounded by owls.
So they're like, did the family really see this? Or are they, was it just their wild imagination? So this is where the stories were going. Skeptics believed they just made the whole story up to get, you know, famous. Basically.
Well, okay. How did that go?
Well, they left, so I don't know why
that would.
We're talking
about it today. Yeah. I guess pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the theories. Theories on other than them being aliens. One was the most consistent was the eyes glowing. So there's something called foxfire. Now, foxfire is a bioluminescent fungus, and it grows on decaying wood. And it's the bright color of like neon green. And it just looks really creepy and scary looking. So they're thinking maybe that was the glow. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they saw.
Okay, these people live there. They would know what that is if it was there.
Right. So that this is one of the theories.
I'm just saying maybe fungus looks different than eyes. Maybe.
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 Telling you they were on shrooms and they.
But you know, sometimes maybe shrooms. You see maybe a dead tree trunk or something out there and it's glowing, maybe you might think that it's an alien coming after you. I don't know.
Yeah, but they thought that they saw like 12.
Right.
That's a lot of fungus.
It is. It is. Floating, glowing eyes, talons. Dre said it. They said they were probably great horned owls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dang.
Okay, Dre. It would basically be, okay, for the aggressive behavior, because one swooped down and tried to attack Billy Ray, and then they were kind of confused at the beginning. They're thinking, okay, these horned owls. And another story that they thought this was in the Mothman case, too. They thought mm-hmm. that the Mothman was actually this owl as well.
Yes, I remember that.
So gray horned owls are, they can grow fairly large. They can grow up to about 2 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Would be what? Kind of, yeah, that's would be kind
big.
Of like that. Mm-hmm.
That's big. Mm-hmm.
The feathers on the head kind of mimic the pointy ears because they do have these like feathers that go straight mm-hmm. up out of their head.
Okay.
They're nocturnal, so it would make sense that they came at night to attack.
You can hear them.
And the floating away is basically them flying away.
Okay, but what about like the arms in the air? Like, we come in peace. What about that? Owls don't do that all together.
Right. And then if they're shooting the owls would probably die right away.
Or fly away. Yeah. And when you shoot an owl, it doesn't make it metal sound.
You says exactly right there. Being shot at sounds like metal, question mark.
Right here.
Yeah, uh-huh. Same thing. So there you go.
You got it.
So, of course, it had to be the booze, right? It mm-hmm. had to be booze. The theory was the entire household was drunk on moonshine. But unfortunately, that didn't work either because when the police went and did the whole evidence sweep, they found no evidence of moonshine, no evidence of anybody.
No tail or anything.
Nothing. Mm. And witness Joanne Smythe said, "We all laugh at that because Gunny didn't allow any alcohol or even cursing on her property."
No curse. Carnies that didn't curse?
Right.
Come on.
Ooh, right.
Ooh, I love everything about it.
And they were a quiet and trustworthy family. So, it wasn't the booze, y'all.
What?
It wasn't the booze.
Maybe they just ate some, like, bad food and it made them sick.
Possibly.
But then they all had the same similar experience.
Yeah.
Maybe it was mushrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, when I get sick, like when I eat bad food, like I just want to be in the bathroom. I don't go shooting at aliens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm. Just different experiences, I guess.
Yeah.
It's aliens. For sure.
So you guys, this is really fun. Today, the town of Hopkinsville, Kentucky embraces their historic alien encounter.
Yes.
And in 2010, the town began hosting the Little Green Men Festival.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's a 4-day event with ufologists, hay rides, crafts, food, live music, and fun.
Oh, my God.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Does everyone dress up like a little green man?
I'll look for more pictures. Okay. I didn't really see that. Okay, but this is the part that really freaked me out, y'all. Okay. Mm. So the original incident happened on August 21st, 1955. Mm-hmm. On August 21st, 2017, Hopkinsville, Kentucky had an eclipse. Mm. On the same day, 62 years later.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, 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 yes.
So they declared themselves Eclipseville. And they had a huge party,
That's funny.
To watch the eclipse. And they were probably hoping that the little green men or the aliens
would
come back.
Right? Uh-huh. Give us a sign.
It didn't happen. Hmm. So a little bit of history here. In 1952 through 1969, the U.S. Air Force spearheaded Project Blue Book.
Yeah, girl.
Yes.
But,
this was basically where they researched UFOs. It followed two other projects that they had, Project Sign and Project Grudge. And according to researchers, now this is going to surprise y'all, okay? According to researchers, none of these projects found any evidence whatsoever of UFOs or extraterrestrial life. They were big.
Nice.
Yeah. They didn't find nothing. So Project Blue Book didn't investigate this case because they thought it was just a big old hoax. Mm-hmm. They thought it wasn't worth their time.
What?
And
how many stories and cases are they following up at one time?
Yeah.
I'm sure they have time
to
check this one out.
Well,
you know what I mean?
They recorded the incident with nothing. And then they put big C period P period next to the case. And what does that mean? It means crackpot. So that's what they thought about that case.
Rude.
I know, right?
Not cool, man.
Okay, so now I'm going to give you a fun fact, y'all. Even though the Kelly Hopkinsville incident didn't convince the world of UFOs and ETs, it did inspire a plethora of sci-fi stories. Supposedly, the movie Critters, a 1986 Gremlins knockoff about a family farm fighting off these little creepy aliens who crash land on a farm while riding a meteor.
Yay!
Okay, so they based that movie off of this.
Well, now I gotta watch
it. The story also made its way to X-Files comic book, not the show, comic book, and they called it Crop Duster.
Ooh.
And so lastly, so did these 11 people, because there were 11 people in this home between the two families, did they really fight off aliens, or did they make the whole thing up?
They fought them.
They fought them.
They won.
Yep.
We're better.
Yep. So there you go, the Kelly Hopkinsville Yay! Alien encounter.
That was so good.
I love it. I love this story.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not crackpot. Real.
No.
Real
story.
I think they really believed it.
They really did.
I'm going to go with owls.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Owls, I don't know.
They don't do this.
They were
and
high.
They don't green glow.
Just kidding.
They don't glow green either.
I could see how somebody could say that their eyes glow, though.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, and then I forgot to tell you, too. The spaceship, hello, there was a meteor shower happening at the same time.
Oh.
So they
and that's why they came in on a meteor. Okay.
Rainbow.
Yeah, so they were thinking that it was just a meteor.
The rainbow.
That Billy Ray saw.
Well, stop talking, because you're now making me question if it was aliens.
No, it's fun. It's fun. It was totally aliens.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're right.
Aliens.
Yay. Ooh, it's time for
Badass Story of the Week!
Oh,
we sounded so awesome!
That was weird how was all of this.
There's
time.
No delay. Dre's not delayed or nothing.
I know, so bad.
Usually when we do it, I go.
All right. So Bill Caldwell. I don't know if I'm gonna call him the badass, but this is just like a feel-good story that originally happened in 1943, where Bill Caldwell was in the Royal Navy. He wrote a postcard to his Uncle Fred with an instruction to the postmate to deliver early in the day. Do you want to know when they delivered it?
Oh, no. Not early in the day.
Not early in the day.
Aww.
They delivered it 77 years and 7 months later.
Oh, I have a package
to the future.
That is also like this right now.
That's Back to the Future.
That's
remember?
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So luckily the family still lived in the home. Not his Uncle Fred, because obviously he probably died, right?
Oh,
but
no.
They still had family members living in the home. So they called one of the cousins that lived there took a picture and he sent it. You know, it's like 77 years later. It's so crazy. So he sends a picture and he's like, guess what? I just got this postcard from like dad or whoever. So it was just so funny. They asked the Royal Mail, what happened? Like 77 years, like, dude, come on.
What's
snail mail? I don't know. So they had no answer for this.
It must have felt like behind a dresser. Or like
I mean, who knows?
So somebody got it and said, oh,
I know. Somebody put this back in. Was it a forever stamp? I don't know. How did this almost a whole century later? Let's be realistic. So it's a cute little postcard. It's a photo of him. He was just got into the Royal Navy. And it says, well, I am in blue at last. I did not think it would be like this. You don't get much time for yourself, do you? But I like it all right. I'll write a letter when I get half a chance. I have 19 weeks here. Mm. Right? Give my love to everyone, Bill. So super cute. He's no longer with us, right? 77 years later. So in his time with the Royal Navy, he manned a minesweeper during the D-Day landings.
Wow.
He traveled the Pacific, visited Japan, and he carried prisoners of war back to Australia. He received 4 medals during his time. So needless to say, the family was shocked. He never was one to write letters or send postcards to start with. So the fact that even 77 years later, they had his handwriting was just like so beautiful and, you know, so so amazing. He was such a good role model that the mom even wrote on his gravestone, he was a Liverpool gentleman.
Aww.
Yeah. And that he would give anyone the time of day, and that made it even more magical to get a glimpse of him from when he was younger.
I love it.
So, it's so cute.
Yeah, that would be crazy to get a letter and be like, oh my God, this is really old. And
yeah. But you know, when we do like the Surviving Death series down the rabbit hole, we talk about signs.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And to me, this was just so perfect to talk about because it's a sign. Sometimes, like, you know, sometimes the postcard 78 years later is it.
That's so funny.
It's so cute.
It's like, oh shit, better get this out.
I know, right? I was like, whoever found it was like, oh my God.
Sure, it was delivered.
I love it.
Well, the fact that somebody found it and didn't like not deliver it, like, oh shit, that must be, like, just throw it in the trash, right?
Because
wouldn't that have been like a reaction, like, oh dang, this is so old, I'm not even going to bother, right? But they sent it.
You know, I kind of do this thing where I'm like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to take this thing, like, and mail it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then I don't, and then it's 77 years later. I do that, too.
Yeah, I do that with my returns to Target all the time.
I need to return this.
Yeah.
5 years later, I still have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yay, Dre.
Yay!
That was good.
Yeah. You guys can always message us. We love it at handcuffsandstage@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, all the social media things, all the things. We have a website, handcuffsandstagepodcast.com. And you can be a badass. Check out our Patreon page. Support your favorite gals. There's 3 different levels. You choose what you're comfortable with. And we send you fun goodies and swag. Yay!
Win-win!
And then you have access to our spooky ooky stories where we have listeners come on and share their spooky ooky story with us. And yeah, you get to unlock that.
Well, you're special. You're special now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is sad and lonely. And you're not. So check that out. It always takes 2 seconds to leave a review on iTunes. And it really, really, really helps us out when you do that.
Oh, and subscribe on YouTube, too.
Okay, do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all the things.
Well, yeah.
All the things.
It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, we love you.
Yes.
This was good.
Yes.
We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I need some water.
And I hope you guys like us on video, too. So this is new for us.
Be nice. Okay. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yay. And remember,
we do what we want.
Woo.
Bye. See ya.
Bye. Handcuffs and Sage is hosted by Red, Timo, and Trey in a shitty guest room in Los Angeles.
The music is Leave Now by We Are Wasted. Cover art done by Megan Winchester.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Show some love on iTunes. Be a badass and do what you want. Until next time.